today in our Master and Commander series. I think this is the third in the series. We're looking at Moses and the burning bush. If you've got your Bibles, it's Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4 to verse 18. I'm not going to read that because it's a long, long passage of Scripture. I'll just sort of talk you through a little bit as part of the sermon as I go on. But in your leisure, if you don't know the story of Moses, it's just a great story. It's one of those things, you start reading it and you can't put it down, really. It's an exciting story, and you find yourself reading right through probably to the end of Exodus, what happens next. But if you haven't read it, get into it. It's exciting stuff. Just want to give you a very warm welcome today, certainly if you're here for the very first time. And welcome to Ormskirk and welcome to Edge Hill and whatever. It's great to see you. And if you're here for the 100th and whatever time or 1,000th time, you're just as welcome, yeah? Because today we believe in a God who is real, a God who wants to speak to us, a God who's interested in us. And it's not by accident that any single one of us are here today. It's great to have Johnny with us. It's his last Sunday with us before he goes off to university. And it's just great to have you with us, Johnny, and have Leanne's family as well. It's great. And we just really want to give you just that warm welcome. And just be open, as I think it was said before, Mike said, just to be open to what God is saying. Yeah. And although I'm sharing, I don't really want it to be about me. It's about him. And it's about God speaking through me to you. And so just open your heart. I don't know what sort of a week you've had, and whether it's been a good week or a bad week. Is it the same old, same old? I've had a week of nights, and it's been, I don't know what day of the week it is. I've been asked, what day is it today? In fact, I've been on nights now for 8 nights, and this is my 9th one tonight. So I'm a little bit sort of like this. The alarm didn't go off this morning. I jumped out of bed at 10 to 10. So I haven't had a shower, so don't come too close. But I did have one last night, and I got drowned in work as well because I was out in the yard. But basically, sometimes you know we can just have one of those sort of mundane sort of weeks. I don't know if you're a student, and I hope you're not feeling homesick already. But sometimes we can get that way. Maybe you're feeling a bit sorry for yourself today. Things haven't gone your way. Maybe you're asking yourself, well, it's okay for you guys talking about God and doing all sorts of things, but where were you, God, in my situation? Where were you when I needed you? I thought you were with me, but, you know, you're not there. And maybe things haven't quite worked out the way you planned. Maybe your course is not quite what you worked out. Your room's not quite what you expected. It's a bit smaller. Maybe your career hasn't worked out the same. I don't know. Maybe you're saying today, well, God, have you forgotten about me? You've got all these other people, but what about me? Have you forgotten about me? Where do I fit in? And then you might go down this track of sort of self-pity. Well, what use am I anyway, God? Why would you be interested in me? I've got nothing to offer anyway. I've messed up. I've made a mess of my life. I've messed up so many times, and maybe you've just given up on me. And that could be you or me today. We could be that way. But, you know, that was exactly the way Moses found himself in our story today. And, you know, we just need to use an Irish phrase, catch yourself on a little bit. I always remember Anne Smith saying that, catch yourself on a little bit. We need just to, hey, hang on a minute, guys. And that was for Moses, that moment. When all of a sudden, out the corner of his eye, he saw something, and he said, what's that over there? What's that over there? And something totally unexpected, totally inexplicable, out of the blue, or if you like, out of the bush, something happened. He saw a bush burning. But you know, he'd seen bushes burning on a regular basis. It was nothing new in the desert where he was in the wilderness. But there was something different about this one because it was still green. I don't know if there was fruit on it, but it was still green. The flames were really giving it something, but it was still green. This, hang on, what's happening to this? There's something funny about this. And you know, after 40 years... Some of us aren't 40 yet. Some of us are. But after 40 years in the wilderness counting sheep, because that's what Moses had done, God called him out of a burning bush. Moses. I wonder what he felt. The story of Moses. You see, Moses was something special about him. As a young child, I don't know what it was, but there was something about him, and his mother wanted to protect him. You see, all boys were being killed. Pharaoh was killing all the baby boys because the children of Israel who'd been there for a long period of time were getting too many. So he said, let's kill the boys, let's get rid of them. And so there was, I don't know how many were killed. But in some way, Moses' mum protected him, kept him safe as long as she could, hid him away. When the soldiers came, he must have been put away somewhere, I don't know. Maybe she sat on him, anything just to protect him. Yeah? keep him quiet. But one day, it got too much. He was getting too big. I don't know, about 3 months old, maybe. Put him into a basket and put him out into the River Nile, which was full of crocodiles and all sorts of stuff. But also, it was the place where Pharaoh's daughters used to come and bathe. And they knew that, and she knew that. And we know the story, what happened. That basically one of the princesses found this basket with this baby in and just fell in love with him and said, I want to keep this baby. And we know that the mother nursed him and his sister looked after him. And Moses grew up in riches that he could never, ever have expected. He grew up as one of Pharaoh's household. He had everything going for him. But you know, God still had his hand on his life. He was still a Hebrew. He wasn't an Egyptian. And one day, he saw one of his brother Hebrews getting beaten up badly by one of the guards. And he just couldn't restrain himself. And he killed the Egyptian guard. He thought he'd get away with it. But it wasn't long after that he saw two of his own brothers fighting. Two of the Hebrews fighting. And he tried to separate them. And they said, hey, hang on a minute. You're the guy who killed that Egyptian. Woof. And all of a sudden, the news started filtering out. You can imagine that filtering out. And all of a sudden, he fled for his life. Because he knew that if Pharaoh found out, he was going to be in trouble. And so off he went. And he fled to a foreign country. He got married. He lived with this guy. And this guy said, I've got a job for you. You can look after my sheep. And for 40 years, after fleeing from Pharaoh, he was looking after sheep. Put yourself in that situation. You think you've got a mundane job. You think your situation's mundane. Put yourself in that situation. How would you feel about your relationship with God if you found yourself in that situation? But in that moment, maybe he thought God had forgotten about him. He heard that call, Moses, Moses. And you know, Moses answered, here I am. He didn't have a go at God, say, where have you been? You know, I'm not interested. No. He said, here I am. I am available. And today, are you available? Am I available? Moses now would be 80 years of age. And some of us maybe are getting to feel a little bit old, and we think, well, that's it now. But I want to tell you, there's no age limit in God. There's no scrap heap in God. There's no scrap heap. There's no finished. There's no pension off. Moses was 80 years old, and there's no age barrier. And he calls. And when he calls because it's his time and his agenda. It was time. And that's the time that God chose to call Moses. He could have called him 40 years earlier, but it wasn't the right time. He had to leave it for this period of time to be the right time that he had this work for him to do. And in verse 14 of chapter 3, we hear that God speaks to him. And he says to him, I am. I am. That's who God is. He said, I am. And I am sending you. I am. Was God being arrogant? We know Cassius Clay used to say, I am the greatest. He was a boxer, if you didn't know. A long time ago, Muhammad Ali. Probably the best boxer the world's ever seen. But he was so arrogant. And it was a bit of a front, really. If you see him now, he's just a shame, really, that he's just in such a bad state physically. He can hardly speak, and he's been punch drunk, really. But in his prime, he was just beyond anything, and he just took everybody on, and he just had this image. But when he said, I am the greatest, he could probably do it in a boxing sense, but it hasn't lasted now. But when God says, I am, there's a power there, there's an authority there, there's a confidence there. Master and commander, the theme of what we're talking about, I am. Don't argue with me, I am. I am in charge, I am in control, I am the commander. And I'm for you, Moses. I will be with you. Psalm 23, we know it so well. Moses would know, even though he didn't know this writing then, but this is something you could say about Moses, we could say about you, when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, yeah? I shall not want. How are you feeling today about your circumstance? God says, look, I am your shepherd, yeah? The Lord is my, you can say, he is my shepherd. He, not you, but he makes me, that's you, not somebody else, lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He restores. He guides me. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, you comfort me. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can be confident today in God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yeah? If he is master and commander of our lives, yeah, what more do we want? What more do we need? And Moses knew at that time that God was for him, that he hadn't forgotten about him, that he wasn't just wasted away in the desert, that his early childhood and his upbringing wasn't just no use at all, that life that was saved when loads of his friends and family and colleagues were just smitten and killed, he was saved for a purpose, and the day had come, and this was his purpose. And you know, God's got a purpose for each one of us today. And God is wanting us to encounter him today. You and me. He's wanting us to recognize again who he is and who we are in him by his Spirit, so that we can live our lives out to the full. So many people today are just existing from one day to the next, from one pay packet to the next. God says, I'm with you. I'm for you. He wants you to live. He said, I've come that you might have life. God wants to give you life to the fullness. And he is the master. I am. I am for you. And you know, if we know him today as our Savior, then we are under his command. And he said to Moses, look, Moses, it's time to move on. You don't need to count sheep anymore. The waiting's over. I'm sending you. I'm going to be with you. And today, I don't know how you feel about your own circumstance. Some of you have come away to university and on a new challenge. God's brought you to this place for a purpose. And he says, look, I'm with you. Yeah? Something for you to do. Some of you may be feeling today as though you are just counting sheep. Your life is just going through the motions. God is wanting to call you. He's got purpose for you. He hasn't finished with you. He's saying, no, come on. I haven't got time to waste. I will be with you. Mike, the leader of our church here, was speaking 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he came up with this quote, and it's such a powerful quote. It's this, he said, start living in your destiny. Step into your destiny. Stop living in your history. Yeah? Step into your destiny. Stop living in your history. So many of us are carrying that baggage around with us of history, yeah? What people have said to us, what things have gone wrong, where we've made mistakes, where we've let people down, where we've let each other down, where we've let God down, yeah? And we keep looking back. Remember Lot's wife, it says she looked back. So often we spend our time looking back instead of looking up and looking forward. Stepping into what God has got for us. You know, we can't afford the time to keep going over the old ground again, yeah? Let's draw a line in the sand and let's move forward. Yeah? Because it just holds us back. Because the enemy wants to hold us back. He knows we've messed up. I know I've messed up. Hands up. I've messed up. Yeah? I've blown it so many times. If I had my time over again, I'd do things differently. But you know, as a human being, I'd probably do the same stupid things again. But God doesn't look at that. He says, you're forgiven. You're set free. You're cleansed. It's gone, it's past, you can't bring it back, you can't do anything about it. Just leave it with me, leave that baggage behind, and step into your destiny, what I have for you. See, Moses was struggling with this. He said to God, are you sure? Are you sure, God? Have you got the right bloke here? I'm 80 years of age, I've been there for 40, are you sure it's me? And they said, well, you know, what if this happens and what if that happens? Do you know, so often we question God instead of going when he tells us to go or do something when he tells us to do it. We say, well, are you sure? What if this and what if that and what if the other? And I'm not really up to it. It's not me. Send somebody else for that. When God is saying, no, you. You in your place. Me in Asda amongst an inferno of, I didn't want to be there. Probably my fault, partly I am there, but I don't know. But God's put me there, yeah? I'd love to be working in a Christian bookshop. But guys, it ain't reality. It isn't reality. There's a hurting world out there, guys. And we need to be the aroma of Christ in those situations, yeah? There's a campus here, yeah? With all sorts of stuff. A lot of it not godly, yeah? That's why the Family Planning Association did well on Freshers' Fair. Yeah? That's why the pubs and clubs were chock-a-block on Thursday night. And Sarah said she picked up more glasses and bottles on Thursday than she's ever experienced before on Street Pastors. Yeah? Because that's the culture and the offer as you come away to university, yeah? God says, look, even in all that mess, you can make a difference. You can have an impact. You Christian students who've come here, you Christian students who've been here, go for it. 100%. Moses said to God, have you made a mistake? You must have made a mistake. And God says, no, you're my man. You are the one. And you know, when God calls, it's no mistake. The problem is, are we open and alert to recognize? You see, when Moses saw that burning bush, he could have just thought, oh, that's just a burning bush. Could have turned his back on it, gone to feeding the sheep. I wonder what history would have looked like then. But we read, he didn't. He stopped and he went and said, something unusual is happening here. I'm going to have a look at it. It was an opportunity. An opportunity. When some situation comes up for you, which looks a little bit different, don't just ignore it. Have a look at it. It could be just the opportunity that God is opening up for you. Yeah? That request somebody makes to you, that phone call you get, that text you get, that feeling you get. Are you saying something to me here, God? Did you want me to do that? Did you want me to go there? Be open and alert to what God wants. What if he hadn't? What if Moses had just ignored that? What if when God called him Moses, Moses said, no, not today. I'm not interested. You went for me, you know, when I needed you. Not anymore. If you've done that with God and turned your back on him and thought, well, God, you know, I've tried you before and you let me down. I'm not bothering anymore. Yeah, don't. When God is calling you, when God is challenging you, go with it. Say, yes, God, you're calling me again because you love me, because you care for me. You're interested in me. You've got a purpose for me. Some of you may be saying, well, you know, I'm too young. Moses came up with loads of excuses. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm too young. I'm not really experienced for that. Look through the Bible and see how many people that God raised up that were young and inexperienced. Just a few. David. Yeah. Samuel. Naaman's maid. We don't even know a name. But God said, I want you to do something mighty for me. Yeah. Little lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Talked about forever. He just did that simple thing. He was willing and obedient. What about you? What about me? You might say, well, I'm a little bit nervous. And there's nothing wrong with being a little bit nervous. Because we don't want to be arrogant and say, you know, I can do it. Maybe a little bit apprehensive. And none of us can be that confident in our own ability. But God says, look, I will be with you. I will be with you. You can imagine how Moses was feeling. Yeah? He wasn't just going to a kindergarten to rescue his people. He was going up against the biggest known empire at that time. And God said to Moses, what have you got in your hand? In verse 42, chapter 4, verse 2, what have you got in your hand? It's a well-known phrase which has been used loads and loads of times before. But it's a symbolic phrase. And God is saying today to you, what have you got in your hand? What have you got that you can use? What have you got that God can take up and use? And it doesn't have to just be in your hand. What have you got in your heart? What have you got in your mind? What have you got in yourself that God can take up and use? What have you got? You know, we've all got something that we can give. We've all got different things we can give because the Holy Spirit gives us gifts, the Bible says. It gives us gifts. So don't say, I've got nothing. You've got something. The Bible tells us that God chooses the weak and the foolish things of this world. Yeah? And you know, people outside looking at us today who just think, well, just a gang of sort of softy people, you know, plenty of ridicule, oh, you're off to church again, you know. And they'd look at us in that way, wouldn't they? Yeah? And think, what have these people got to offer? We might be weak and foolish in the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, we are master and commander. Yeah? We are a mighty strong army. Not just stirred by the nice music, but stirred by what God can put in our spirit to make a difference as we go forward. And again, we look at people in the Bible who were weak and foolish. Who would have ever chose Moses? Yeah? If you were talking to God and say, God, look, I'm looking for somebody to go and rescue my people. Yeah? Who's it going to be? Well, I know. We've got this 80-year-old guy. He's been looking after sheep for 40 years. He's out in the desert. He's first choice. You what? Are you kidding me? David. There's a massive giant over there, 10 foot tall. Yeah? We need someone to go and sort him out to rescue my people. Who are we going to pick? Oh, I know. We've got a kid over here. He's about 12 or 13, yeah? He's never been to war. He's been looking after sheep. He plays a harp. He's the first choice. You what? Are you kidding me? There's so many. Jacob. We've talked about Jacob in our last series of sermons. Get them on the iPod. Yeah? A liar, a cheat, a deceiver, a runaway. You're going to be one of the main guys, Jacob, for my people. You what? Are you sure? Yeah. God chose him. The list could go on and on and on. Gideon was chosen. He was shaking. His knees were shaking because the Philistines were after him. And God wanted someone to come and rescue his people. And he found him hidden away. Under the cases. Who am I going to choose to rescue my people? You'll do over there. Where are you? Yeah. So often we feel that way. But we need to be encouraged today. Jesus came down and he wanted 12 men who were going to turn the world upside down. So who did he go for? Yeah. Just 12 ordinary guys, just doing ordinary jobs, doing ordinary things. Guys, today he's choosing people. He's wanting people to impact the world. He's wanting people to make a difference. Who's it going to be? You and me. Nobody's. Last choice. Forgottens. But God says, I want you. Today it's you and me to reach out into a hurting world. Moses, I want you to go with that stick and rescue my people. You what? That stick in your hand, yeah? Go with that stick. And sometimes you can feel that way. Are you joking, God? With that stick? Is that all I've got? Where's the machetes? Where's the machine guns? Where's the tanks? Just go with the stick. Imagine, you just try and get the scene. You've all seen the Ten Commandment film. But you know, with Charlton Heston, it's fantastic. It's a bit old now. But you imagine that scene of going into Pharaoh's palace, even getting through the gates, never mind getting anywhere near him, and saying, I've come to see Pharaoh. And imagine the state of Moses, being with the sheep for 40 years. He's probably filthy, dirty, smelly. And what have you got to offer? Well, I've got this stick with me. I want to see him because I've come to save the people. Yeah. And sometimes that's the way it is when we're approaching the world, guys. Yeah. But behind all that, Moses knew the great I Am God was with him. And you know, sometimes, guys, when you're feeling as though you're getting battered, you're feeling as though nothing's going for you, you're feeling as though you're banging your head against a brick wall, just remember that picture that you might be standing there feeling, all I've got is this little stick in my hand. But remember what you've got behind you. Remember Elisha and his servant when they were in the town? Yeah, and they were just captured. No way out. Troops everywhere. And Elisha said to the servant, just open your eyes, open his eyes to see. And he looked, and a heavenly host surrounded him. Those who are for us, if God be for you, who can be against you? Don't let the enemy beat you up and say you can't do it, you can't achieve it, you'll never make it. You're not good enough. When God calls you, he wants to equip you. He's got a purpose for you. And there's nothing too daunting. Humanly speaking, no chance. But with God, all things are possible. What we need to do, guys, today is stir up the gifts that are within us. You know when you get a tin of paint, it says stir it well. And at the bottom is all the sludge. Yeah. And it's a bit of a hard effort. Do you know that's the problem, guys? We get lazy. We get sloppy. You know, we don't pick up our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't get to fellowship. Other things become more important. Yeah. God becomes halfway down the list. I've got these things to do first. God, do you fit into this? Or is God top of the list? And all that sludge is at the bottom. You know, it's time to get rid of the sludge. It's time to stir up the gift that is within us. And God says, I will be with you. What's stirring in your heart today? Is God stirring your heart to do something? Is God saying, look, I want you to do something. I want you to impact somewhere. Time's gone on, maybe life has passed you by in some areas. It had passed Moses by for 40 years, but it wasn't the end because God used him for another 40 years to just do amazing things. And God's got exactly the same thing for you if we'll allow him. He's got exactly the same thing for me if we'll allow him. If we'll give him the opportunity. If we'll let him in. If we'll take him at his word. That when we've run out of excuses, and God was getting a little bit angry with Moses, he just screamed at him, just go! For goodness sake, just get there, yeah? And he went. And God's saying the same thing to us today. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. I don't know where God is in your life today. Is he master? Yeah? Or is he minor? Is he afterthought? When he's master, it means we do what he says. Yeah? My boss tells me to do something, I do it. Because he's in charge. God wants to be in charge. And he's the best. He knows what's best. And he's commanded as well. Because he knows the way forward. And today he's calling you. He's calling me. He's saying, come on. Don't give up. I've got a new chapter for you. I've got something I want you to do. I know you're seeking me. You'll find me. Some of you might have forgotten about me. But God said, look, I'm after you. My heart is after you. I want you. Some of you are starting on new experiences. New experience at college. God is saying, look, put me first. It's going to be tough. You're going to get ridiculed. There's going to be a lot of temptations in your way. Don't do it. Listen to my voice. Follow me. And it's going to be hard because you're going to have to stand up and say no to that. But it's going to be worth it. No more excuses. No more can't do. Put Jesus first. Bring him back into the picture. Bring him back into the centre. Say, God, today, yeah, I'm giving myself to you with harm's eye and full abandon. I'm just abandoning myself to you. I'm opening up my hands. These things I've got, these talents, these abilities, take them and use them.